This afternoon, I will be sharing with you some of the challenges and the context of Islam and how much this affected our churches and what is behind all this. It's going to be two sessions. I'll try to go slowly so I can cover it in the two sessions. And I will be answering your question this evening, God willing. So, looking at Islam, the word Islam, it means submission. If you heard that it means peace, is wrong. The word peace in Arabic is salam. That means peace, and we use it for our greeting, even in Hebrew, is shalom. But the religion of Islam, and you can see it, is Islam. So there is a difference between Islam and salam. Salam, peace. Islam is submission. It's almost like the Western movie, we call it the cowboys, you know, like when they have a gun and they put it in front of your face, what they will say, hands up. So this is exactly the meaning of Islam. It's kind of just submission or hands up or give up. This is the meaning of the word, of the religion. So please don't be deceived. It means peace, and there is no peace, literally, in Islam. So the other things is, this word submission is the demonic power of Islam is revealed by the meaning of the word submission. The demonic things that you will believe only in Islam and no other things. So you don't have any other choices than to be submitted totally to the whole teaching of Islam and to be totally submitted to Muhammad and whatever he wants from you. We found actually the extra power of Islam, obviously to the Muslim. And it has a great power. And that power you cannot get out of it. For instance, in Saudi Arabia, they are people is called the Mutawwa. What is the Mutawwa? That they will be, during the time of prayer, they will be in the street. If you are not praying, they will beat you up, literally. If you are not observing all what is being asked about, you will be condemned and you will be under punishment. I remember I was a little child and I loved to play soccer. And I know there is a game coming up and I want to do the prayer. So I went to pray and I prayed very fast. I don't know if you're, how many of you familiar with how the Muslim pray? One. Okay, the Muslim prayer is a kind of a lot of ritual, like you wash yourself in a special way and you face the east. They think that is Mecca. And when you start your prayer, you will put your hand like this. And then you say the first phrase is, God is great, Allahu Akbar. And then you start to do some bowing, and different prayer have different bowing, and you have to put your forehead down in the ground a number of times according to the time of the day. And then at the end of the prayer, you will greet Muhammad and all his followers. So, and then in the middle, actually in between, you will be reciting the Quran. The Muslim prayer, you don't have anything to say by your, like about yourself or from your heart, like the way we pray. You're just reciting the Quran. So if you don't memorize some portion of the Quran, you cannot pray. So you have to say, and we call it surah, so you have to say some of the surah in between. So I went to do the prayer. Usually the prayer will take sometimes 10 minutes or 15 minutes to finish your prayer to do all the ritual. I want to go to play soccer, so I did it very quickly. I didn't say any surahs. Actually, I just did all the other things. And there were an old man sitting, looking at me praying. And from the tip of my eyes, I can see him coming closer and closer to me. And at the end of the prayer, you will, to know that you finish your prayer, you will put your head like this, say, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. So this kind of, you greet Allah, and then you greet the one beside you, and the one beside you, if you don't have somebody beside you, you will greet the angel or Satan, one of them. It depends who is beside you. So he came close to me, and whack, he hit me. And he said, you have to repeat it again. So you're under that kind of bondage. You can't really get away with anything. The other things is, the other kind of degree of submission will be for the Christian and the Jew. So what the Muslim are hoping that the Jew and the Christian will be under the submission of Islam, and we're going to learn how the Muslim are doing this. The bottom line of it is, Islam is deny Jesus glory and take it for the messenger of Islam and seek to neutralize the bride by forcing her to come under the doctrines of Islam. This is what Islam is. It's to take out any other things but Islam and denying Jesus. One of the things you found it in the Islamic faith that Jesus is just a prophet. He's not God. He's not the Son of God. And he's not anything else. Only Muhammad is the seal of all the prophets. And they want that all of us to be under that. The origin of Islam, Faisal Malik is a convert from Pakistan. He said Islam is a momentum to the rejection of Ishmael. So they're feeling that rejection and they're using that rejection. And they want to gain back their position. The other thing is, Dr. Mark Dowry from Australia, that is comparing Jesus and the messenger of Islam. And how he compared it, both suffer pronounced rejection. But how this rejection, how Jesus dealt with his rejection, and how Muhammad dealt with the rejection. Jesus dealt with the rejection with love and how he accepted us and died for us. And I don't need to go more in this because you know how he dealt with that. But Muhammad dealt with his rejection by power and force and killing. One of the early followers of Muhammad actually went to him and he said, my wife rejects you. And she thinks that you're a false prophet. And she refused to obey me and to believe in you. When Muhammad heard this great rejection from the wife of one of his followers, guess what he did to this woman? He brought two camels and he tied her two legs. And asked the two camels to go to a different direction. This is how he dealt with the people that he rejected him, even his early follower. Dr. Gord Nichols is a scholar in Islamic study. Messenger of Islam and Muslim makes the messenger of Islam correspond to Jesus. It's almost in the same level of Jesus. And all the leaders of Islam, when you talk to them, they would like to level Muhammad and Jesus together. In fact, they call Muhammad is a seal of all the prophets. That means he closed everything and he ended everything. Some of the Muslim even, they take it in a humor way. Well, it's humor, but they think it's funny and all the things. That the difference between them and us, that they believe in all the prophets, including Muhammad, and we believe in all of the prophets except Muhammad. He said, well, if you believe in Muhammad, you completed everything. And if it happened that Muhammad is right, you don't lose anything because you already believe in the other one. But how do you believe in the other one? So they tried to make Jesus and Muhammad the same, and we're going to see how that's going to be dangerous for us later on. The other thing is that the Muslim leader, they think, and or they label the criticism of Islam, its messenger is a blasphemy. In fact, there is a law in Islam that if you speak against Islam or against the Prophet of Islam, you should be killed. By the way, you can say whatever you like to say against Allah. Nobody's going to touch you. But the minute you talk about Muhammad, you're done. And example of this, 1988, if some of you remember or aware of the book Satanic Verses by Salman Rushdie, and you know what happened. And then the Danish cartoons. The whole Muslim world, they were crazy. So, and here when they start to put fear in the heart of the whole world and everybody. The other thing is the Shahada or the creed. And you know, in Canada, the Muslims, they try many times to have the Sharia law in Canada. And we're going to talk about it. But what is the Shahada? The Shahada is Islamic creed. When a person become a Muslim, or the Muslim every day, they say this 72 times in all the prayer, and when they wake up and when they go to sleep, and also you have to say it when you die. The creed is basically is a covenant of submission for Muslim. It said there is no God except Allah. And Muhammad is a prophet. So if you go to the mosque, I hope you don't go into do that. If you go to the mosque and you said, okay, I want to become a Muslim, they bring number of people and you stand and you say that the creed, and they will ask you to do it in Arabic. So there is no any God except Allah, and there is no any other prophet except Muhammad. And from here, you're submitted totally to Islam. If you recount that creed, you will be killed immediately. What this creed means, it means a Dima Pact, a new word I'm going to teach you today. The Dima Pact is one of the dangerous words that is in Islam. And I'm going to give you more about this. The Dima Pact for the Christian and the Jew who wouldn't convert to Islam. So if you refuse to convert to Islam, just like the Copt Christian in Egypt and other Christian in the Middle East and other places, if you don't want to be converted, and this is how Islam started and how Muhammad started, he went to the Jewish and he went to the Christian and he said, I am the prophet, now all of you have to follow me, and some of them they refused. He told them that you're going to be under the Dima Pact. The Dima Pact is to replace the covenant with Yahweh. You're not anymore under that covenant or under the protection of Yahweh. You're not anymore belong to Him. You belong to us, even if you're not a Muslim. And this we can see it in the Islamic conquest. What is the Islamic conquest is? Is to run quickly, unstoppable, and enduring the Islam. The conquest, when it started in Islam, they own everything. Everything in the world belonged to them. The whole earth belonged to them. And this is why Muslims are spread all over the world, because they claim every land and every place they go to. The conquest is stealing or taking back or reclamation that what has been taken from you. And this is how they took all the Muslim world. And when they come here, it belongs to us. Just like what they did in Germany and in England. Now, England and Germany belong to the Muslims. Now, Britain is trying to fight back. Go to Piccadilly, go to London downtown, go to different area. You'll feel yourself like you are in Middle East, you're not really in Europe. They curse the police and the queen in the street, and nobody can do anything about it. Even they were trying to get to the palace when Fayyadi, the son of Dudi Fayyadi, he was dating Diana, and that was clear, because they want to get to the palace. And we don't know who killed her, but anyway, they were trying to claim everything. The Dima Pact, or the reclaiming that Islam they do, is to, they have a ritual, an annual ritual, for the people that refuse Islam. What is the ritual? Is to have a mark in your neck by a sword that you are under the Dima Pact, and this is how Islam is started. You are under the Dima Pact in Islam. I will explain more the Dima, but I want to give just the background so you can understand what's going on. There are three confusing doctrines in Islam. Number one is called the abrogation. What is the abrogation? Is the latest revelation abrogate early revelation. The Muslims, they believe in four books. The Torah, the Zabur, which is the Psalm of David, the Injil with the Gospel, and the Quran, and some of them, they believe in the fifth book is called the Furqan. So the Zabur, the Psalm of David, abrogated the Torah. So the Torah is not anymore valid. The Injil abrogated the Zabur, the Psalms. So the Psalms is not valid anymore. And then the Quran abrogated the Injil. So the Injil is finished. The Gospel is finished. The only thing is the Quran. So in this area, that all the books, all the religious book before Islam is gone. There is no more. The other confusing doctrines is the taqiyya. And some people were asking me about it. This is when the Muslims are allowed to lie. They have a permission to lie. And they're allowed to lie to three, they have their three, like in three situations, they're allowed to lie. Number one, a husband is allowed to lie to his wife to keep his marriage. Second, you're allowed to lie to a dying person to give him hope that he's going to live. The third one, you are allowed to lie about your belief. We know that all the martyrs in the Christian faith, that they die because of their belief. No Muslim died because of his belief. All of them, they died because of the cause of Muhammad or an anger like a suicide bomber that they want to finish the non-Muslim. But if you go to the Muslim and you ask him, is it true in the Quran that husband beat up your wife? He will say no. And it's written there. Is it true that the Jewish are pigs and apes? He will say no. Is it true there is jihad in Islam? In fact, Surah 9 is called the killing surah. If any Muslim said there is no jihad, there is no killing, Islam is a peaceful religion, tell him go to Surah 9. They will say no. He said, well, Wajd told us. He said, oh, Wajd is a liar. And you come to me and you said, you lie to us. And I will give you all the evidence. And you go and show it to them. He said, oh, no, they have a different interpretation. So they're allowed to lie about their belief. And this is what is happening in the Western world, that Islam is a peaceful religion. We're here just to live with you, and we're here just to make a living. Yes, some of them, they do that, but not all of them. The third doctrine is called the Hudaybiyah. What is the Hudaybiyah? Do you know how Muhammad conquered Mecca? In Mecca, they were strong idol worshipper. There were strong people. They were very rich. And they kicked Muhammad out of Mecca. He immigrated to Medina. They rejected him totally. So he went to Medina. His wife, his first wife, died. And he inherited a lot of money from her. And he formed an army. And he went back to Mecca. But you know that it's going to be defeated in Mecca. So he said in Mecca that we're here just to worship with you. We're here to believe with you, and we think that the Kaaba, which the black stone, the things that they go around it, I don't know if you saw it in the picture or in TV or in YouTube, when they do their pilgrimage, it used to be for idol worshippers. It's not really for Islam. In fact, they were doing adultery in front of the God of the Kaaba, in front of the Kaaba. The people will pilgrimage there naked, women and men. And when Islam came, he changed it, but he changed it with something different. You see them, they're wearing this white sheet, but there's nothing underneath. The women are wearing these black things, you know, like the cover, but nothing underneath. And this is the only place that women and men together in Islam, and the place is packed, and they're like this. The most filthiest place you can think of is Mecca. This is when they think that their sin is forgiven and all the things. The thing that has happened, I was there when I was 14 years old. My family, they took me. My big brothers, they were behind us, because I was a little boy, behind us and behind my sister to protect them from the men in the back. You got the picture. So the Hudaybiyah thing that Muhammad went there, and he started to kill and conquer the area, and he took over. We are here a peaceful people, we're not going to do anything, and they start to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then he took over the place. The same things is happening in the Western world. And they're going to be taking over. What happened of the failure of the Middle Eastern or the historic Middle Eastern church? The failure of the church is they yield to the Muslim. It starts from the time of Justine up to the Abrahamic curses that in Genesis 12 that we're here to curse and to bless the people. It was a division between different domination in the church in the time of Muhammad. The church start to ask protection because at that time Muhammad get bigger. The church was asking the protection of Muhammad from other Christian domination. And the only thing the Muslim, they said, if you want, you have to submit to us and you have to give us everything. And that activated the Dima Pact. The Christians were seeking the protection of the Muslim. And they went under Islam, and this why Islam in Middle East is big. The DMAP Act of the Church is especially for special condition for the Christian and the Jewish to protect them. We are going to protect you. Now you have to come under our DMA, under our protection. This is renewed annually with a ritual beheading. Every annual time they will be beheading Christian and Jewish is a sign of protection. Some of the condition that they will do that is the jizya or the year hand taxes. You're not allowed to be in the army for the Jewish and the Christian. You're not allowed to be in any other services. You're not allowed to be in the government. The only thing is just pay us and we'll protect you. And this area is we're going to be restriction of conversion, that you can convert to Islam, but Muslim cannot convert to your belief. The other things that will control your marriage, will be controlling your worship, and it's happening until now. Oh, we don't feel like you have to worship on Sunday. Close the church. If you're here in Syria and in Lebanon and also in Egypt, they will go on in special celebration. If there is Easter or Christmas or other celebration, they will go and bomb the church. They will take your building. It belongs to us. So they control everything there. The relationship with Muslim. You be our friend, but will not be your friend. They will exercise their authority. The housing. Public appearance, how you should wear and what not to wear. In Middle East now, even the Christian girls, they wear the hijab. If they don't wear the hijab and they get harassed in the street, the judge will say, it's your fault, you're supposed to cover yourself. If you go to Iran today, you are forced as a lady to wear the hijab. You're not allowed to exercise your belief. Is it happening here when they come here? If today we said that the Muslims, they're not allowed to wear the hijab, like just one of the things that was supposed to happen in Quebec, but they didn't win. They were angry. If you told them that wear the hijab, you're not allowed to pray, how are they going to feel? But they do it to us when we go there. Your behavior. Means of transportation. Women have to be in the front, men have to be in the back. If there is no place for the Christian, walk. You have to be always humble and grateful to Islam. So they will control everything that you do. This is the DMAP Act, how it started during the time of Islam until now. So what the DMAP Act here, the DMAP Act, designed to kill the soul and to keep the captive population in submission. Some people ask me, why Islam is that in control in Middle East or in the country? This is the DMAP Act. It's not controlled only over the Muslim, but over the Christians. What Roger said is, the church under the power of the Islamic community and failed to develop into a biblical church. We are under the society and the religion of Islam. And the church failed to do that. the Dima Pact in the West. The jihad is not anymore accomplished by word, rather is accomplished with word rather than a sword. So here, jihad, actually there is number of area of jihad. Number one, the jihad, as I said yesterday, by your hand. You have to fight, you have to kill. The second thing is by your mouth, by word. And then you have to be silent, is not anymore silent. So they're using the taqiyya, the lie, about what's happening. So what's happening here, that the jihad is happening in the Western world, is only by word. The other thing is Muslims are victim, tolerant. I don't know if you keep hearing this word. So that we are victimized. And there's tolerant, and then also the how the Western world they look at us. And they became in an area that they try to get everything and our sympathy. And in the West, we accepted that. We agree about that. In fact, actually, I was telling two friends of mine, actually, I just get to meet them, I was having lunch with them. You cannot say anything more about Islam, otherwise you will be considered have a hate message. I was arrested in Edmonton for a hate message. I have a PhD in Islamic doctrines and Islamic study, and I want to have the equivalent of it in the only university will offer a religious study is the university in Edmonton, University of Alberta. And I give a presentation, part of it I have to give a public presentation. I gave the public presentation about the pre-Islamic history. And it was open for public. The house was full. There were a lot of Muslims there. And when I start to compare the pre-Islamic history with Islam today, the Muslims get angry and they start to disturb everything. In fact, some of them, they kept to the podium to beat me up. I have to be scored by the security. The university give me probation. I'm not allowed to continue my study. I was arrested for a hate message. My passport was taken from me. I'm not allowed to leave Edmonton anywhere, only by permission. I went to the hearing and I found guilty. Now I have to go to the court. A very good lawyer, he said, I'll present you next Sixon firm in Edmonton. And I said, okay, sure. He said, it's better be a good case. I never lost. I said, sure. So we start to work for the case, and he said, I need witnesses. I said, what do you need the witnesses for? He said, the witnesses about your character. I told him what means character. It's the first time to hear that word. He said that the people will say, Wajdi is a nice guy. I told him, oh, I don't have any problem about that, but the charges is not about me being nice or nasty. The charges is about Islam. To make the story short, he said, what is your witness? I told him, the Quran will be my witness. Everything I said at the lecture is in the Quran. I asked my lawyer to talk to the lawyer, that the Quran is going to be in the stand and it's going to be questioned. Guess what happened? They drop it like that. Because nobody was able to stand in front of them or the Quran. Because they know that everybody is kind of ignorant about what's inside the Quran. And I was willing to bring the Quran to the stand. The other thing is the Sharia, as I said, is happening in Canada. What is the Sharia here? It's a way of Muslim that a legal justification for a demitude is enjoying a worldwide So, what is the Sharia law? It's to control every one of us. And when the Muslim wanted to have the Sharia law in Canada, they want to start in Quebec. And the first time, guess who went to the street, to the House of Commons, and to the Supreme Court and demonstrate in Ottawa? Guess who? Not the Christian, the Muslim woman. The Muslim woman went to the street and they said, we don't want the Islamic law. Because they know that they're going to be oppressed. But it's not anymore about, it's not only the woman, but for us. You know that the Islamic law implemented in Canada, we don't have any right to do anything. Just like what happened in Sudan, when the Islamic law was implemented, they have a control not over the Muslim only, but they will have a control over the Christian. The other thing that's happening is the example of the modern damaged youth that enter to our church. The damaged youth, the power of Islam, is in our churches now. And the first example, the insider movement. How many of you heard about the insider movement? A few. The insider movement is kind of compromising the belief. If Son of God will hurt somebody else, let us get rid of it. The Muslim can come to know the Lord, but they still have to read the Quran, and they can go to the mosque and do all the Islamic things. They don't need to come to the church. The insider movement, when the Muslim convert pray or other people pray, for example, if we have a Muslim here and we don't want to offend this Muslim and we need to pray, so the one who is leading the meeting, like John, he will ask us to stand and face the east and lift our hand like this so we can please the Muslim man sitting in our midst. The insider movement, they're not a church. There are people in all of our churches, and most of them, watch this, most of them are representing us in the mission field, are Christian workers. So what happened with the insider movement? So, okay, we'll leave this alone and I will come. I'm ahead of myself here. I'm getting excited if you can see that. So what's happening in the United Nations, they want to have a Muslim state at the United Nations that to control everything. And this is why the Western world, whenever happen injustice in Middle East or any Islamic country, they cannot do anything about it. Let us go deeper. This guy was mentioned yesterday. When he became a president and he went to Saudi Arabia, he bowed before the king of Saudi Arabia. And you know what that means? As a head of state, I and my country are under you. And since you can see how he running his country, the worst visit ever done by a head of state in Egypt was this man. When he visited Egypt, the first day after he left, 3 churches were bombed. The Christians were seeking protection from Bush and other presidents. Nobody were able to touch them. And when this guy came to power, all the protection gone. The Syrian Christian in Damascus, he said, we need your protection. And our church is under you. And there's a group, it's called Daesh. I don't know if you heard about it. Now, they took most of the churches with what's happening now in Syria. With the demons and the convert Christians. As you see the history when it's talk about the convert, it's taking advantage of this convert. And this convert, they have to proven themselves. So, if you are converted from Christianity to Islam, you have to prove yourself. And one of the examples we have here in Calgary, a medical doctor is called David Liber. He used to be a Baptist. I'm not sure about that because he changed his testimony all the time. If he sit with a Baptist, I was a Baptist. If he sit with a Pentecostal, I was a Pentecostal. If he sit with Anglican, I'm an Anglican. At that time, I used to be part of the Southern Baptist. We were in a debate together, and he said I was a Baptist. And I did ask him some question, and I asked him, when the Baptists wake up in the morning, they get out of the bed in the right or from the left? And he didn't know how to answer that. I said, because in the Baptists we're well controlled. So they're using these people all over the place. Some of the muddy water that we have, Muslim replacement theology. In the theology we have that the biblical reference in the Quran. As I said in the morning and yesterday, there is no any mention of Islam or Muhammad in the Bible. Absolutely nothing. Some of the theologian and some of the insider, they will say, yes, there is an Islamic reference in the Quran. There is a biblical reference in the Quran.